1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is God's holy and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord, what is the purpose of the church? What's the church here for? Some people think that the church is here to provide them with the place to get the baby baptized, a place to have a marriage ceremony or a funeral. Others think of church as something like Governor Jesse Ventura said one time. He said it's for weak-minded people. Some people think that the church is here to give them support when tragedy strikes, and there are various views of what the church is for. But what does your heart tell you? What is it that you think of? Our text in this passage in 1 Peter 2:9 tells us something different from all these things. The church is here on earth because it has a position and a calling from God. And the scope in this one verse is the scope of what Peter describes for the church as he describes what we are and what we are to do. That's as simple as it gets. What are we and what are we to do? When we answer those questions, we'll have an answer for the question, what is the purpose of the church? What are we? Peter tells us in this passage, having given many other words in previous verses, relating to the Old Testament and bringing from that Old Testament structure, he comes to this verse in verse 9 and he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. He takes Old Testament language and he applies it to the church of Jesus Christ and tells us that we are the people of God. You're God's people. You have the privileged position of being a child of God. In the Old Testament words, we are called here a royal priesthood, reminding us of the priests who served Israel. But what was their other purpose? They were to serve as intermediaries and they were to serve before the presence of God. And the church is a corporate entity which is related to God. We are the people of God. And the Holy Spirit has been busy molding and making you, according to God's plan and purpose, into that image of God after the fashion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this text, he gives several descriptions of the church as he describes them. He says, first, you are a chosen people. We were chosen. To be chosen is to be selected, to have someone else make that decision. And the one who has made the decision here is God himself, who chose us for himself. We are inescapably his. What God has done is unchangeable. What God has done is sovereignly done. And he has chosen us to be his people. His chosen people are not some elite group of individuals. We weren't chosen because we were so good. Good thing my mom is not here. She would say, that's very true of you, Steve. We aren't chosen because we have something better to offer. We aren't chosen because, oh, we're the ones that are going to get the job done. We're simply chosen because God chose us in his Son to be the servants of Jesus Christ. Chosen people are those who God brings near. That is, he brings us into fellowship with himself through Jesus Christ, our Lord, through the redemptive work that he has accomplished at Calvary's cross. And then he goes on and he says, not only are we a chosen people, but you are a royal priesthood. Remember, the priests of the Old Testament mentioned a moment ago, they offered sacrifices. The focus there was on direct access to God. And we have that direct access to God now in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the open invitation of Hebrews chapter 4, where we can come to the heavens itself and speak to God in his presence. And he hears us and our words are echoing through heaven as we pray. And he asks that we enter into that fellowship with him. We are a people who offer spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. What are the spiritual sacrifices that you or I are able to give? Well, the spiritual sacrifices are the sacrifices of our lives. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 that we give ourselves to God. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, very familiar verses where he writes to us about giving a sacrifice of praise to God, our lives. And that priesthood reminds us that we are priests who serve the King, not only the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our worship then as priests and kings should focus on him, the head of the kingdom and the covenant, the one who has set us apart to be the people of God. The fact is that through him, we belong to him, a royal priesthood, combining both king and priest in one expression. But he goes on and he says, we are a holy nation. Now, when you think of it in the context of what Peter is writing about here and speaking about the Old Testament situation, we know that sometimes Israel didn't do well, and we don't do well either. We behave badly, Israel did as well. But it says here that we are a holy nation. That's what God has called us to be. Called us to be a holy people. To be holy is to be set aside for God's glory. That's what it means to be made holy, set aside, given that position of being related to God through Jesus Christ. And we are to be building a spiritual house. Each stone is unique, handpicked for the purpose and the plan of God to accomplish the building of that spiritual house which God is building. That's why the congregation of Jesus Christ is so important. You are a part and you have a place in the congregation, not simply because you went through a class, you brought your membership into the church and so on, but you are a part of the congregation because you've been drawn by God into the fellowship of Jesus Christ, and you have a place in the family of God. And as a holy nation, we are to be a holy people, a people who are to be holy in all of their lives, in our business, in our marriages, holy in all that we do, holy in every way. So often we forget that, as did the two elders who had a fender bender at one point in the church parking lot. Not here, but somewhere else. And one held the other responsible because the insurance company would not pay. And then the story goes on and it says they never spoke to each other again. Most unholy conduct ensued. That's not how we're to be. We are to be holy in our life, all of our life, holy in our conversations, holy in our thoughts, holy in what we do in terms of our work, holy in every way, because we are a holy nation, a people given to God. And then he goes on and he says that we are those who belong to God. We are his treasures, precious to God. Belonging to God, we willingly declare Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior, our King. The church is not a religious association formed by saved people to express their faith. The church is a people that is united to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're united to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are then united to the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who are with you in the congregation of believers. And church fellowship then is not an option to be chosen or ignored like membership in a social club. Sometimes that's how people treat the church. But the church is the calling of every Christian to be a fellowship of believers bound together, bound to each other, responsible for each other, who love one another because they are bound and belong to God. And God uses his people bound together to bless the world. All the way back in the Old Testament, he says to Abraham, when he calls Abraham to be the father of believers in chapter 12 in Genesis, and he says, the people that you will not love you, he says, I will not love them, and so on and so forth. But what's the very end of that calling? The end of that calling is through him, all of the nations of the world will be blessed. What's he predicting in Genesis 12? He's predicting the expansion of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the church, which has begun and starts with Abraham in its official function as he calls him to be the Holy Father who leads the people of God. And God uses his people to bless the world through the presentation of the gospel. That's what the church is to be doing. Deeply involved not only in the lives of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, but we are also to be deeply involved in the invitation to extend the kingdom of God through the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. That takes on different ways. Many of us are saying, well, I can't go to the ends of the earth. Yes, you can. You can go to the ends of the earth through supporting your missionaries. You can go to the ends of the earth by praying for your missionaries. You can go through the ends of the earth and to the ends of the earth by being your own witness wherever you are as a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to go to Tahiti or some other unpronounceable place on the face of this planet. You can go to your workplace tomorrow. You can go to the coffee shop tomorrow. You can go to another place tomorrow, and there will be people there who need to know Jesus Christ is Lord. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that which we are called to proclaim. And we will ask you to do that as the church of Jesus Christ, to be responsible not only for one another and to fellowship with one another, but to be a part of that fellowship of believers that goes into this world to declare the holy gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that calling to be the church that is chosen, royal, holy nation, people belonging to God, it's far different than what many people believe about the church. I know there are people today that go to church because they want to be excited. They want to go to see what the next program is all about. I know of places where they go and they love the choir of the church, and that's all well and good. But beloved in the Lord, it's the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that's the center and the heart of the church. You don't come to church to give a nod to God and say, now I'm free. You don't go to church to go through the programs that you enjoy or your grandkids enjoy. You go to church to hear the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then you are prepared to go into the world to give your life in every aspect of that life to build that spiritual kingdom with spiritual sacrifice and spiritual praise for the infinitely gracious God that has given that gospel to us. So what then should the church be doing today? Well, not our own agenda. The point is simply this. God has an agenda, and his agenda is more important than mine or yours. Whatever your agenda or my agenda for the church might be is absolutely irrelevant. What the church's agenda is what God has declared in his word. And what God has declared in his word is this. Look at verse 9 with me. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It doesn't get any simpler than that. Here is what you are, holy, chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, so that you may do what? Declare the excellencies of God. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, that simply means that the number one goal, the number one purpose, the ultimate purpose of the church is worshiping God. The proper response to the revealed covenant God and to the God who has revealed himself to us in his word is the worship of the living God, praising him for what he has done in sending us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, praising him for who he is, witnessing about who God is and to his greatness and his glory, not to ourselves, not programs that we can make up, not celebrations that we can put on before a congregation, but proclaiming the glory and the grace of God in Jesus Christ so that he is glorified and that his name is exalted and that he is praised. Our lives are to be a testimony to the fact that we belong to God through Jesus Christ. Declare the excellencies of God. Speak of who he is. That's what you do when you declare something. Speak of what God has done. Look about you and see the world that he has made and the glories of it, even now in this time of the year as you travel home. And if you go down the highway especially, you'll be able to look and see the empty fields and the glory of the land and the beauty that he has created here in the flatness of Indiana, where it's so nice to farm. You go out to the west and you see the glories of the mountains and the Rockies. You go to other parts of the country, and everywhere you go and then throughout the world, you will see the glory of God, who made this world by his very word. He created it, and you can glorify him for it. You can speak of that glory as you speak to others about the one who has made all things, and you speak of the excellencies of God. That's what we are to do. We are to witness about God's glory and what he has done. We are to witness in everything that we do. Let me ask you this. Do you witness to other people by the way you drive your car? That might be a bit of a challenge for some of us. By the way you live, by the way you talk to someone else. You speak with one person, you speak nice words, but when you get home, you might not speak as nicely. By the way you talk about someone else, by the way you speak of those that are around you, do people get the idea when they listen to you, when they watch you, and they do? Do people get the idea when they see you that God has gotten a hold of you and you're different because you belong to him? And it shows, it's demonstrated. The witness of our lives is linked to our worship. We don't worship God simply by coming here and then saying we're done. We gave the nod to God, gave him an hour of our time. He ought to be happy with that. Thanks, that's all I need. The rest of the day is mine. Read the commandment and read the word, you'll get a different picture. The witness of our lives is that we are linked to God with our worship. People should see in us an authentic Christian living as a Christian should live. And Christians who are drawn together in fellowship with one another should be seen not as a church that's glorious, but as a people of God that are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and to his word and to the power of that word in their hearts and in their lives. The greatest witnessing tool that God has made is sitting right in front of me. It's you and me. It's the living, breathing, authentic Christian who lives according to God's word. And you have to do that because God has called you to do that. But as I mentioned a moment ago, people will watch you. People know if you're real or if you're phony. Your witness in your work, your words that you speak, your actions, your activities will betray whatever is in your heart. For it's out of the heart comes these things Jesus told us. The early church grew because people saw what? If you read the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, it says they grew because they saw the intensity, they saw the authenticity of the believers who assembled to worship. And they were drawn to that worship. They saw that this worship glorified God. They were drawn then by the power of the Holy Spirit into the church through Christians living lives to the glory of God. That's what we're called to do, declare the praises of God. What are we called to be? This chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But we are called to serve God by declaring the excellencies of God into this world, declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May this new year that's coming be the year in which we are all committed to that purpose of glorifying God in serving him. Amen.